will you open the Word of God and your heart as well? Luke, the 4th chapter, we shall read from verses 1 through 13 of Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Beginning with verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tested of the devil or Satan. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. And listen carefully. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Then turn with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And in Matthew, chapter 6, something noteworthy there. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. And in verse 9, After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Shall we pray? Blessed Spirit of God, thou art the author of this word, and who but thyself can convey unto us the blessed things of the mind of God, the will of God, the person of God. We pray thee that as thou dost speak through human instruments, may the power of thy spirit and the wisdom of thy being so minister to each of us that we might know the mind of God and do the will of God. We ask it, our Father, in the name and for the sake of thy dear Son, our Savior, who is soon coming. Amen. I am wondering if we overlook many things as we read the Word of God. It's a God-given privilege to be able to sit under men of God who have been enlightened by the Spirit, and through the years that they have lived in communion with Him, to teach those who are there listening. So, in meditation, something struck me of great importance. The high priest of old had to bring an offering. Before he was made high priest, he had to be washed thoroughly, as well as his sons. And in the book of the Old Testament that has to do with all the types, the high priest was to be at the age of 30. He and his sons were to be washed thoroughly. Secondly, the high priest, even though he had the offering, if he came in contact with anything that would deflect from his ministry of coming to God's presence by his coming in contact with something that was unclean, neither the priest, the offering, or anything would be of any worth. Therefore, there is something here in the book of Matthew. And in Matthew, we see where is that verse again? I believe it's in In Luke, we read as the genealogy is mentioned of Jesus, the Son of God, we notice something very significant. And it tells us with regard to the Son of God, in verse 21 of the third chapter, look at it, please. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape, like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. Now listen to this. We ask ourselves, what was he doing there? Why was he there? And what need was there of his entering into baptism? For it was a baptism of repentance and confession of sin. What was he doing there? The next verse gives us the key. And in verse 23, it tells us of that chapter. And Jesus himself began to be in the vicinity of how many years? Out loud. 30 years. 30 years of age. What was happening there at the area of Jordan when God told John the Baptist to come out from the wilderness, go into that vicinity, call them unto the baptism of repentance and confession of sin. He also came, and John would not baptize him. And the Lord said to John, for it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And John baptized Jesus at the age of 30. Why? There God was saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What did God the Father mean? It meant that he is the one who is going to be the high priest. He is the one who is going to be the spotless sacrifice. He is the one. He is 30 years, within the vicinity of 30 years. The Spirit of God had a definite reason of mentioning his age. He was ready to be the high priest. He was ready to be the offering. And he was to avoid coming in contact with any uncleanness that would hinder him from functioning in this sphere. So it tells us that he was there. And this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Very well, having mentioned that, I want you to notice, after that baptism, and in that baptism, he was washed for a different reason altogether than the Jews and the others who came for repentance and confession of sins. He was anointed by the Spirit of God in the form of a dove, anointing him and resting upon him. But now, being that he was to be the high priest, and he was to be the spotless Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world, he had to be careful not to come in contact with any uncleanness that might touch him. So we notice in chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And there, he was going to be tested for all the uncleanness that was to be brought before him, that he might not be able to function in the purpose for which the Lord God sent him into the world. So we read, in verse 2, we read again, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And from that moment on, the enemy of God, the Father, the enemy of the Son, the enemy of the Spirit of God, was ready to bring uncleanness into his life so that he could not function in the purpose for which he was sent into the world. Do you get it? Say amen.
Amen.
Very well. Let us go on. And the devil in verse 3 said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. He wanted the Son of God in this time of hunger, in this time of being low in his physical condition that could affect also the mental condition. He wanted him to fall. command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. What is written? That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Over against the hunger that affected the body and could affect the mind, the one thing that kept him going and to do the will of God was the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. Then the devil, taking him up, thought by showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time, surely this one would fall for it. He's hungry. Here he could have wealth. Here he could have position. Here he can be a ruler and have all this. And so the answer was, or rather Satan said in verse 6, and the devil said unto him, all this power I will give, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me to whomsoever I will give it. He saw the glory of it, he could have the power of it, and also all of it, the kingdoms, the power, and the glory. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, it is written, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Now listen carefully. Verse 10, read the first three words audibly. Get it? The Son of God overcame by saying, it is written, it is written, it is written, and Satan says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Why the emphasis of the Son of God saying, it is written? And then Satan saying, I also know the Word of God. It is written. It is written. But the difference between the Son of God knowing the Word of God and the devil knowing the Word of God and was able to combat what the Son of God said concerning the Word of God by saying it is written, Satan knows the Word of God, and do you know what he does with that knowledge? He works upon the minds and hearts, even of believers, as well as the whole human race. He takes the Word of God, and he takes it out of context to make the individual believe that it is the Lord God who said thus and so. When Satan said, it is written, in Psalm 91:11, will someone turn to it, please, and read it. Psalm 91:11. But before that, I want you to read a few verses before that. Anyone, please. Psalm 91. No, before that.
Verse 10.
Read verse 9 and 10.
Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling.
Right. You see, because thou hast made the Lord thy God, my refuge or my help, he will keep thee from this, that, and the other. Satan just used verse 11 to detract him from the previous verses. For the Son of God made the Father his refuge, his joy, his blessing, communion with him. That's what Satan left out. And only mentioned that if they would cast, one would cast himself down, the Lord would make sure that they don't die. And so the enemy takes the word, twists it out of context, so that we might believe what the Word of God doesn't say, but what the enemy wants us to believe that he did say. For instance, my people, the only one of the reasons for their survival is this. They always worked hard. They wanted money for security, for they've been persecuted down through the ages. And they wanted money to be concentrated either in jewels or in some way or other, that when persecution comes, they'd be able to flee and have that to fall back on. So in the Old Testament, as I brought out this morning, God will bless Israel, he says, and prosper them materially if they will be obedient. So when we come to the New Testament, we see certain verses of prosperity, material prosperity, and we read it out of context. It has to do with something else. And the reward is material prosperity. For in Luke, that chapter, I believe it's the 14th chapter of Luke, three times does it tell us that rich ones were stripped completely of their riches, that it wouldn't do them any good. And in hell, one rich man lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. But he himself was being tortured. Then another one said, I have all this and I've been blessed. What am I going to do with the old flow? I know what I will do. I will pull down the old places, build larger places, and then I will take my rest. And the Lord says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. So we read certain things out of context. Here, Satan was quoting the scripture. He knew the Bible, and it's in Psalm 91, but it's only those who are willing to do the will of God, loving the will of God, being in communion with God, would not do anything of the kind by casting themselves down. And if something like that accidentally would happen, the Lord at that time promised deliverance. So the enemy takes the word out of its context. That's why we must be very careful in studying the Word. Jesus said, it is written. The devil says, it is written. Whom am I to believe? We have been given the gift of the Spirit of God, who is the author, and we have to look for his mind and guidance in the Word of God. Having shown all this, why I finally went to Matthew, the sixth chapter, verses 9 to 13, concerning not the Lord's Prayer, but the disciples' prayer, is to put side by side in juxtaposition what he went through in the temptation while in the wilderness and what he tells his disciples not to do and how to pray. So we go back to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and in Matthew chapter 6, we notice verses 9 to 13. He tells the disciples not to be like the Pharisees, standing where everyone could see them, and going forth in prayer with eyes lifted up, and with such mock humility, and asking for things that are not according to the will of God. And he tells them in verse 9, after this manner therefore you pray, our Father which art in heaven. After the Lord had victory in the wilderness temptation, he tells his disciples this, that they are not mere individuals, cogs in the wheel, with nothing really to fall back on, to preserve them and to lead them aright. No, he tells them this, first of all, you pray, our Father which art in heaven. And in James, the 1st chapter and verse 7, we notice this verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. In other words, when Jesus gave the model prayer to his disciples, he was teaching them that his Father was their Father. Therefore, they should look to him. And when they pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. Then, in John the 8th chapter, verse 38 and 44, our Lord brings this before us. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you Pharisees do that which you have seen with your Father. Ye are of your Father the devil, and the desires of your Father you will do. So we notice, first of all, you pray, our Father which art in heaven. In the temptation in the wilderness, the devil was trying to disorient the relationship between the Father and the Son. So he tells the disciples, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. Then the second thing you are to say is, hallowed be your name. What does it mean? It means this. It means the character of God. The character of God must be consecrated, set apart, and not to be defiled. That's what the enemy was trying to do to the Son of God, to defile the character of God. That's what he was trying to do, and we shall soon see in what way. When Satan said in Luke 4:7, if thou therefore wilt worship me, Satan was trying to degrade the character of God, the person of God, by considering the person of God as being inferior. That's what Satan was trying to do. That's why it says there, if you worship me, all shall be thine. What about the enemy? He was Lucifer. He was a glorious being. Next to the Son of God, there was not another glorious being like he himself. And Lucifer was the high priest of God in heaven. He led the whole angelic host in worshiping. He was the one who protected the very throne of God. His place was to cover that throne with his protection. Then when Satan's purpose, or Lucifer, who became Satan, became otherwise, we are told that his purpose was to dethrone God, to dethrone him. And in that temptation in the wilderness, we see it over and over again. So we notice in Luke 4:8, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." From what book in the Word of God did the Son of God answer the enemy of God? It was from the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is the book of obedience. And he knew the Word and quoted from that book. When it says, "Thou shalt only worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve," the Lord thy God means the one who is the creator and the sustainer. And the Lord means that he is the redeemer. So he was flinging back to the enemy these facts. Then the disciples were to pray in Luke 4:5, "Thy kingdom come." Why did he impress upon them for them to pray that God's kingdom should come? And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto Jesus all the kingdoms, plural, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And what kind of kingdoms were they? In John 14:30, it tells us the prince of this world cometh, and can find nothing in me to succumb to his offer of giving me all the kingdoms and the glory and the power of them. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he, Satan, is not only the prince of this world, but he is the god of this world. And he hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. One kingdom, and you pray for it, my disciples, "Thy kingdom come." Over against the one kingdom, Satan was offering him all the kingdoms, plural, all the kingdoms of the world, and the power and the glory of them. You ask for only one kingdom, "Thy kingdom come." With God, there is only one kingdom, and it is his kingdom. Therefore, in Psalm 2:8, the Son is told to ask his Father for the kingdom, and Christ is teaching his disciples to do the same. Why did the Father ask the Son to, pray for that kingdom, or take that kingdom as the Father offered it to him? Why? For the reason as stated, that his is the only kingdom. "And I will give thee in that kingdom the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." That's why in Psalm 2, as the Father says, this is the kingdom. And he is offering it unto the Son. And if you read Psalm 2, what the Son will do when the kingdom is his, how he will do away with all that is satanic and devilish, and bring all the whole universe under his godly sway. Then the fourth one, not only thy kingdom come, but thy will be done. And why should they pray thy will be done? In eternity past, if I could use that phrase, for eternity has no time in it. But in eternity past, all was peace and blessedness, because there was only how many wills? One will. One will. Thy will be done. In ages and millenniums and in eternity past, there was only one will. It was thy will. Confusion set in after creation, the creation of Lucifer. When his will opposed the will of God, confusion entered in. If you care to turn to it, there is in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, I believe, in Isaiah, chapter 14. And I want you to notice in Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will. Who said this in his heart? In verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, or day star of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. I will do all these things. Therefore, in eternity past, everything was blessed because there was only one will. And when Lucifer, who became Satan, by saying, if God has all this glory, and I am so glorious, and have the highest position, next to the Son of God, why can't I have it for myself? So his will, Satan's will, entered in, and five times it says, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will be like the Most High God. So there was a clash of wills. There were two wills, the asserted will of Satan, the devil, has ever since been aimed at individuals who form themselves into nations and kingdoms. Beloved, who do you think is behind all the trouble in chapels and churches? Who do you think is behind all the clashing of wills? Who do you think is behind of one wanting to be spokesman and the others have to follow what he says? Who do you think is behind all that? None other than Satan himself. And his desire is to bring a clash of wills and tear down the purpose of God, both in heaven and upon earth. So we notice these things. Thy will be done. All kingdoms are rebellious because of the nature of their leader, the devil. And consequently, they oppose the will of God. Because of this, the disciples are to pray, thy will be done. Then he tells them, they are to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Earth will never be a heaven. There will never be a Ethiopia, throughout the whole earth. Never. Why? Because man wants to be in the center of that utopia. The only reason there will be a utopia when it comes to pass is when God is at the center. Therefore, this scripture, in Revelation 21, verses 1 and 10, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and he carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And as it came down, the word of God tells us this. It tells us, then there will be only one will upon the earth. The devil and the nations with their opposing will be cast into the lake of fire. Then he said to his disciples, not only pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but you, O Lord, our Father, give us our daily bread. Our Lord refused to obtain bread from a stone, as Satan had suggested, although he was hungry after a 40-day fast. Why did he refuse? For the reason that he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That is why. And so, Satan wanted the will of the Son of God to clash with the Father's will. He wanted Christ to act independently of the Father. And beloved, as soon as this comes to pass in your mind and heart, where you are acting independently, whether it be overt or hidden, it is the enemy who is wanting control over your life, or is already controlling your life, as soon as you act independently of him. So we notice he wanted those wills to clash between the Father and the Son. He wanted that high priest who at the age of 30 was baptized and washed all over. And he wanted him to be defiled, because for the defilement, he would not be able, because of it, to function in the purpose for which God sent him into this world. Our Lord refused. He was being tested, and he found his refuge in the book of Deuteronomy, the book of obedience. Jesus began his ministry rich in miracles, but he refused to work a miracle for himself. He fed others, himself he would not feed. He saved others, himself he would not save. Why? He would and must do the will of the Father. Satan's snare was subtle. If I have been able to ensnare those who had a part, whether it be much or little, of the world's glory, if I was able to snare them, why, this poor Nazarene carpenter would surely fall into my net, and he will do my will. Satan was saying to the Son of God, you have a right to yourself. And the Son of God, the way he answered, brought this answer. There's a higher right than one's own right, and that is the right of the will of God. And that's what he did say in so many words. So we notice in Deuteronomy 8:3, there is because Israel in the wilderness and hungry, the Lord thy God humbled thee. He allowed thee to hunger. He allowed thee to hunger and fed thee with angel food. It was manna. You didn't know what it was. which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What is that?